any Muslim woman to wear the veil at all. What's your reaction to this comment?
It's quite remarkable, isn't it, that Jack's been the MP for Blackburn for something like, I would guess, 23 years, and it's only suddenly occurred to him that a substantial proportion of his constituents are running around either in sackcloth and ashes or just a headscarf.
Why did you not say it now, then?
Because I think at last the Labour Party is beginning to get to grips, is beginning to get itself in a position where it is prepared to challenge some of the things about Islam which it finds in its soul, as I would find, inimical to life in this country. And the veil, I think, certainly the full veil, is one of those things. I think what you said is incontestably true. It's very difficult to have a proper human interaction with someone who's dressed in a sort of black tent with a slit in the front. It is just by itself a truth.
Because it's a barrier, it's a physical barrier.
It's a physical barrier.
Okay. Selma, the leader of your party, George Galloway, has called for the resignation of Jack Straw, presumably as leader of the Commons, or possibly even as MP altogether. Is that a position you agree with?
Well, I think what Jack's done is very unhelpful. I don't really see what his point is, and I'm actually more cynical. I think this is not about a real dialogue, a mature dialogue between different people. This is about Jack Straw going for the deputy leadership of the Labour Party. We saw John Reid last week saying, I'm taking on these Muslim bullies. He was heckled by one idiotic person, and suddenly he announced there's a Muslim no-go area. I think it's like a disproportionate response. And for Jack Straw, after 20 years of being MP in Blackburn, to start raising issues is very questionable.
Putting aside questions of his ambition, if somebody else was to say it, what would you make of the point that
He has provoked at least some debate. Many people feel there is a great call for, there's a need for this.
Well, we do have to remember why he said it now. I mean, I think that's absolutely
right.
Well,
let's put that aside, though. What about the basic point that he's making?
The fact is, within Islam itself, there are different interpretations. I don't wear the face veil, but I fully endorse the right of other women who choose to wear it, just as I fully endorse the right of women who don't want to wear a scarf or uncover themselves to do that. It's about a woman's choice. And when a man comes along, you know, what I'm a bit fed up with, as a Muslim woman, either I'm oppressed and I need liberating, from Muslim men, or I need this non-Muslim Jack Straw to come along and say, well, here I am rescuing you, and, you know, you're really putting a barrier and intimidating me.
Well, isn't he just saying, let's try to put some context into that, when women come into his surgery, be they with their husbands or not, that he would like to have a conversation with them, and we all like to have conversations with people by reading people's expressions. It's very hard to do that if you're faced with somebody who is pretty much covered up, you can't react. And all he's saying is, would you mind, while I'm talking to you, would you mind removing that? Is that such a contentious issue?
I think there's a contradiction in what he said, because this has all come out of an article he wrote in which he described this interaction with a woman with a veil on her face, saying it was a very pleasant and polite and respectful interaction, and they got out of it the business that needs to happen. So if it happened, what is his issue? Then he kind of turned around and said, well, this has been a barrier. No, it's a barrier in your mind.
It's a barrier in community relations. If you think about it, it's very difficult if you walk down the street to actually say hello to somebody because you're not sure if it's your neighbour or it could be a completely different person, because all you can see is their eyes. It doesn't actually foster community relations, which is after all what we are trying to do in these current times.
But again, it's the Labour government and senior people within the Labour government attempting to interpret Quranic law, which is a ludicrous notion.
You've read the Quran, what do you mean?
Well, I don't know. It would be wrong of me to say to Muslim women that Allah wishes you all to wear what someone's wearing now. It's open to many different interpretations. But for people like me, who joined the Labour Party in 1979 when I was 19 years old, the thing which drove me to join the party was a wish for people not to be discriminated against on grounds particularly of gender. And I suspect there's an awful lot of people within the Labour Party, and particularly women within the Labour Party, who are beginning to look at Islam and say, well, actually, much as we've attempted to curry favour with Islam, it is time for us to say a few truths about what we believe are the repressive elements of Islam. And I think that's what Jack Straw's claim to. It's a constituency which he's claimed to. I assume Jack was the same.
Can I say, I think it's quite a contemptuous and arrogant attitude to take that, well, Islam as a whole, well, now we're going to tackle it. I mean, there are lots of issues around women. Already in England, we have 1 in 4 women who face domestic abuse. We have an issue where we still don't have wage equality. Big issues, big battles. We have a raunch culture. We have the opposite, in a way, where women are forced to feel, I've got to be, you know, a certain weight, I've got to look a certain way. And there are issues around identity, there are issues around women's bodies that still need to be debated. But I think the problem with Islam as a whole in this is simply not right.
You're not disputing Jet Straw's right to say this, though, are you?
Not anybody has a right to have their opinion, and that's a fundamental right. But I would question is, when a senior politician comes out, and the timing is important, we have to question, is this really about a genuine dialogue, a genuine debate, or is it a bit more of a
political ploy? It has been a genuine debate. If you just take a look at the emails we've had in this morning, and a lot of Muslim women saying, actually, we wholeheartedly agree with him, and we've been waiting for this debate to happen. I'm just wondering if you could explain to people why it is that women choose to wear either the veil, the niqab, the hijab, or the full-on burqa. You know, what's the difference, and why do you choose to wear it? Is it of a modesty issue, or is it a religious issue?
Well, the modesty issue is related to the religious issue. Because in Islam there is this emphasis on modesty. For men and for women, men have to be covered as well.
Not,
for women,
like
not to the same degree, but if you look, for example, at statues of Mary, and if you look at nuns, it's the same principle about modesty, about covering, and you have Sikh women who follow the same kind of traditions as well. So the fact that as if it's something unique to Islam is simply not true. So yes, there is a religious edict in this, and different people interpret differently what that means. The Quran has two verses relating modesty, and none of them don't say you must cover your face or say you must wear something in a particular way, but it's a principle and how people then apply that in their daily
it's
life.
It's how male-dominated societies have interpreted it, basically, isn't it?
Well,
you do as you're bidden, basically.
Well, no, actually, I'm quite offended by that. I am person in my own right. My husband and my father did not tell me to wear it. In fact, I had pressures to not wear a scarf because,
no,
you know, it's such a different thing.
The male interpretation of the Quran, if you like, is what has ended up with you having to cover your head.
I don't think so, because I read the Quran for myself,
and I decided
for myself what it is how I wanted to practice my faith. So no, and I think for me it's a form of liberation. I think in places like Iran and places like Saudi Arabia, it's a tool of oppression because it's forced on those women. And if I was there, I'd be campaigning for women not to wear it because it has to be their decision. So when a man tells you to wear it, it's wrong. And when a man tells you you can't wear it, it's wrong.
The
it has to be
not,
a woman's
very good.
Choice.
Joshua's not telling people not to wear it. He's simply saying, would you mind? Limbus, they said, yes, I do mind.
Well,
he carried on with
from yesterday. It starts off with a polite request, and now today,
hearing
that he says, I'd rather they didn't at all. And it is about a culture that's set. It is about a tone. And I think the thing that I really love about Britain and, you know, living here is that we have this precious balance of an acceptance, you know, there is this British manners, courtesy.
We're not sure that we feel free to have this debate. Isn't this the airing of it important?
The crucial point is that Jastrow should be able to say what he likes without there being placards and effigies going around in Trafalgar
Square.
Sure,
but if you've indicated...
It hasn't happened. No one's got placards.
It hasn't happened. Though I've already seen that the main panjandrums of the Islam industry in this country sort of jumping up and down and saying, sack him, and so on, including, of course...
The Muslim Council of Britain came out and fully endorsed his right to say
not the Islamic Human Rights Commission.
Well, the Muslim Council of Britain is the most representative body in this country of Muslims.
I think you're in bad
right.
ways.
Before we get any deeper in that particular section of the argument.
I, for one, have really enjoyed seeing your animated face in full this morning. That's all I would like to say. And it's lovely to see you. And yours, as ever, Rod, of course.